CBS Radio here with Michael Goudeau. Actually, I'm not here with Michael Goudeau. I'm in New York City, and Michael Goudeau's in Vegas. You're there, right?
Trapped in Vegas.
Trapped
still,
in Vegas.
Yes.
And we don't know when this is. This is stuck in time because we're doing what's called a, well, I'm going to say a tape show, but it's not a tape show. It's an Edison cylinder. It's a wax. It's all digital.
Right.
But we have with us Lisa Lampanelli. And since we're in a room with her, we decided we would do another show. So if we want to take a day off, we could play this one. And no one will be disappointed.
Absolutely not.
No one will be disappointed.
I've got a spark for 2 hours in a row. Now, hit me.
Boom, boom, boom. Anything you want. But you've also brought a very special guest.
Yes, yes. In case I drop the ball and I'm no longer funny, I brought my gay homosexual ass pirate opening act,
yeah.
Wendell.
Penn, you have such a great voice, let me tell you.
Like you, it's well, hot, right? He's
I want to make this very clear in case people can't tell us apart.
Okay.
This is the voice of Penn.
And this is Wendolyn.
That's his real name.
That's
you
my full
that?
Parents named me Wendolyn.
No, they didn't.
And then they were surprised when I came out. I was like, you asked for it.
You're not telling me your name is Wendolyn.
It really is Wendolyn.
Show me
old
license.
German, Swiss German.
Wendolyn. Is that a comp?
Well, no, actually, and Wendell is becoming a very popular name for black guys, but then it's pronounced Wendell.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Really?
Yes,
it
is.
Wendolyn? So you really went, and people thought it was a girl's name when you were growing up.
Oh, my gosh. The first day of school every year was a horror, because they would see Wendolyn, the teacher, and then they would say, Wendy?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they would ensue. And then I would raise my hand.
And then there would be, and laughter would ensue.
Exactly.
You know, my name
And I'd have a little carry moment and burn down the elementary school.
My name is Penn, you know, and I went to
school.
Was
that really your name?
Yeah. And okay. My parents wanted a girl to be named Penny. And they thought it was easier to chop off the end of the name than to do the surgery.
Penny. You're more like a $100 bill, actually. You're a very tall guy.
And so
you're not a penny.
When I went to school, they were first starting to do computers, so they would chop off the end of names.
Okay.
So Penn looked exactly like Penny. So they would always say, they would always go through the first day of school and go, Penny? And I'd raise my hand. And they also would put me in girls' gym class. So every time we'd do gym class, I'd be there, and they'd read off all the names. And who wasn't named? I'd say, I wasn't named Penn. And they'd look down and go, you're on the girls' list.
Now, so we went through the same name trauma. Why?
So don't you try to pass off your queer jive as being to do with your name. I had as homo a cross-dressing name as you did, and I turned out okay. Okay.
Yeah, you turned out normal.
Yeah. So don't you be blaming your name for it, Wendolyn.
Now wait a minute. As you were pointing your finger at me, I noticed. What's the red? What's
also,
that signify?
The red finger now means I killed a homo for asking personal questions.
I thought it was like your version of a bindi of somehow. Is, yeah, exactly. Is that your third eye?
That's my third finger. Yeah, so I can flip you off like this.
Well, you know what? The wedding band finger, that is the gay equivalent of the middle finger.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah, it's like, screw you, homo. Ching, 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 ching. That's how like they do the little Wonder Woman thing. It's like with the little wedding band.
What are you
like,
talking about?
They go
you
like
just
this.
Lost me.
When
okay,
he hits
look,
on a straight
like
eye,
and then they go, and then he goes, step back, homo. Ching, 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 ching.
Oh, really?
You have no power here. Ching, 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 ching. See, now you get it?
Well, I started doing that.
You're a tough sell.
I was going to say, it's a really good joke when you have to sell it and explain it.
Exactly. Well, you know what, too? I was trying to do it radio-proof, and I'm like, oh, darn,
hard.
This is not the joke we should have
It's
tried.
A visual. You understand.
Now I'm going to have to go home and do some journaling and go like, you know, I was like, you know,
I
next to Penn and Teller, who is like, you know, Mr. Penn is like, you know, the equivalent of Cher, I guess. In the straight world, I don't know.
When I was 18,
yes.
my mom said to me, you know, you're doing magic and you're doing juggling. People are looking at your hands. You have to keep them nice.
Oh.
So I went out and I put nail polish on that finger and said, Mom, is this what you meant? And she went, oh, Penn. And it was just a joke with my mom that I started when I was 18.
You've done that for years and years and years.
All the time.
What color?
Ever since I was 18. It's Jelly Apple Red by Essie.
Oh, at least you use a nice
I'll
brand.
I'll tell you, your queer credentials are going way down when a straight guy is wearing fingernail polish and has a girl's name. game. What do you guys have left?
Well, I have a little Victoria's Secret on right now. Okay. I'll let you guess.
And let me see.
Penn, have you ever worn women's underwear? Because some guys like that, and I find it disgusting.
You know, I don't do any of the dress-up stuff
you
at all.
You have no fetish? That's good. What are your fetishes?
Oh,
you have fetishes.
Them. He has them.
I have kinks, but not fetishes.
Oh, okay, kinks. Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't, it's like, oh, that's really nice, take that off. You know, whenever someone wants to wear,
okay.
I would all, there's nobody in the world, and I've said this many times on the radio, there's no one in the world I wouldn't rather see naked, and that includes Ernest Borgnine and Whoopi Goldberg. Those are going to be the final quizzes, and yes, that's the case.
I can't
you're
wait
a
till
brave
he,
man.
I can't wait till he replaces those names with Lisa Lampanelli and Wendell. Because you know we're pretty close to his I don't want to see naked list. Trust me. You don't want to see this.
Where are you from, Wendell?
Constableville, New York, population 400. In the Adirondack Mountains, upstate New York.
Really? Really? Way,
yeah.
way upstate there?
Way up there. We know where... They
population
made the
400?
400.
So how did the teacher not know that Wendellin was you?
Because, no, it's funny, because the teachers came from all over the county, so they didn't necessarily, it wasn't like, you know, Walnut Grove, Little House on the Prairie.
It was like, Bookmobile.
You know, we were a little more progressive than that.
Sure.
Not, we were kind of metropolitan. Yeah, there were more cows than people, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And, you know, you have...
Then why did you turn to bestiality?
I have never done it with an animal.
You never have?
No, don't mess up my reputation.
Willie Nelson says, if you're going to get into bestiality, choose a horse, because if it doesn't work out, you're still going to ride home.
That is so smart. And that's why he's the star he is today.
Absolutely.
If you had to have sex with an animal...
Okay, now I...
First seriously, up. Suppose you had to.
Well, first of all, okay. I really dislike animals.
Really?
And I consider people who have dogs to have a character flaw. I am bothered by the idea that we've used eugenics over 50,000 years to breed an animal that it's Hitler's idea of killing people like you.
That was a great idea.
No, selective breeding,
right,
in order to flatten out their faces and make them look like our children.
Uh-huh.
And breeding something that sucks up to us over years, yeah, I find creepy.
I find it great. You're a party pooper.
I've never had animals.
I feel it's good in a boyfriend to have someone who just sucks up to you constantly,
sure,
and says,
but
yes, Ms. Lisa.
Do you have pets?
I do not, because you know what I'm very suspicious of? You ever see those women, I'm not lying, walking around with Great Danes? Don't you always
yeah,
think they're banging that
That's
Great
creepy.
Dane?
Yes.
Always think a little girl is banging a Great Dane.
Aren't they?
Think?
Yes.
I would think so. Why
else
have a dog like that? It's horrible.
Now, wait a minute. When you were 8...
Do you have a dog?
No, and I always wanted one. Actually, okay. All right.
You can have one, okay. Wendellin.
This is the thing. When I was 2 years old for Christmas, my aunt insisted on getting me a dog for Christmas, and my dad was like, don't get him a dog.
Is that your impersonation of your dog?
Uh-huh.
Of your dad?
No, it would be more like this.
Oh, yeah,
don't get him a dog.
Was your dad very butch?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a problem when you came out to your dad?
Just a little bit. Yeah. Was it not an after-school special? It didn't have a happy ending. Yes, Penny. It was all tense.
Everything's okay now?
It's tense because I, as a person, have accepted him fully as who he is. You know, and just like, you know, I got to the point where it's like, you know what, this gay thing, it's not the only part of our relationship. You know, because I went through different phases where, like, he's got to get over this, he just has to accept this. You know what, the guy lives, you know, up in the mountains. What perspective does he have?
What does he do for a living?
He used to work in a paper mill.
That's as butch as you can get.
Yeah,
blue collar.
Yeah. So, yeah, and, you know, we're always... I just talked to him last night. What we were talking about? Oh, yeah, he's got some chairs to cane. He's got some furniture to, you know...
And cane leaves a whole different thing.
Exactly.
When you're gay, it's really hot.
I got some friends to cane. So you wanted a dog at Christmas. I don't lose these threads. Just go away from
it. Well, that's wonders of radio. That's what's great. So, Aunt Nancy Jo gets... Wendellin.
That was Aunt Nancy Jo.
She was
woman?
A little butch.
She was?
Yeah, Nancy Jo, yes. She used to go skiing with her friend Margo. So I've always wondered about Aunt Nancy Jo. We used to call her Aunt Jo. Barely butch. So she gets me the dog. Dad, like, puts his foot down. Grandma Baxter gets the dog. And then my father and her didn't talk for about 2 or 3 months, my aunt and him. The dog's name was Mitzi, right? So before I came into comedy, how I found comedy was because I was a drag queen.
You were a drag queen?
Yes. So my name was Mitzi.
After the dog.
The dog. Missy Meshuggah.
Missy Meshuggah.
Yeah.
And you didn't do famous people. You were your own drag.
Yes, I did. I did Nancy Sinatra.
Oh, what a good
very
choice.
Very go-go.
What a good choice.
Bump. Oh, see? Emily, you got some competition now. Wait till I haul out that 60s bump hairdo.
Oh, boy, do I love... Boy, Boots is great.
White
and really,
patent
one
leather
of the
boots.
Most... One of the, we, I could probably talk about this with you, because you probably know. One of the most creepy songs ever recorded. Never mind, it was Father and Daughter.
Exactly. I know
what
you're
talking about. Put that all aside... Something Stupid, the lyrics to Something Stupid. I know you. I wait in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me. Okay? And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. I mean, it is just this real weird stalker thing.
Exactly.
And I did a duet. I was singing, of course, the Frank Sinatra part.
You were not. You were Nancy.
With Debbie Harry singing the Nancy Sinatra part.
Okay. And now that's gay royalty.
Exactly. Oh, and we ponied through the whole thing. You would have loved
wow.
it. I know I stand in line until I think. And it was good. Did you do Something Stupid?
No.
Because no one could do the Frank part.
I would do it.
One of the goddamn guys in the whole drag club would sing Frank and go, creepy.
And there weren't any lesbians handy. So, I mean, there was no one to do the guy part.
You couldn't get Frank in there. I mean, Frank, the PH Frank. You know that Frank?
No.
There's a woman. There's a woman.
Transsexual? Transgender?
Not not transsexual, but very, very butch.
Just butch.
who named Frank, P-H-R-A-N-C.
Oh, okay.
And
gotcha.
She does Milk Band songs and stuff. Terrific, terrific act.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, kind of like Katie Lang is the middle-of-the-road version of her. She's way out in the... I don't think any straight people ever heard of her. What I mean is... Let me rephrase that. So, if you were going to have sex with an animal...
Well, also, you know what's weird? Wendell's really attracted to butch guys.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's because he wants to secretly bang his father.
Ew!
No! Because isn't that true? Don't
but
you
I think there's some truth to it.
It's certainly true that he would want to do that secretly.
I would say...
My dad looks like Homer Simpson, okay? Let's just
really?
Cut
does
to
he
the...
Really?
He really does. He's got the bald head, same kind of hairdo.
Yep. But that's a dangerous, dangerous hobby. For a smallish, rather...
Winnie the Pooh-ish.
Winnie the Pooh-ish.
Gay man.
Gay man.
Thank you.
To want to go after a straight butch guy.
I have a pretty good track record.
You do?
I've slept probably, at this point in my life, a third of the guys I've slept with have been married to women.
While you were sleeping?
Surprise!
Yeah.
While you were sleeping?
Oh, yes, at the time married.
Down sure. low, they call it. They're I on think, the down low.
Yeah, well, I think it falls into the kink category.
The kink category.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, sometimes you
that's
want...
That's alliteration. Lisa Lampanelli with the kink category. You know we're on radio.
Wow, thanks, Wendell.
Yeah, sometimes you want to go to a strip club, and then sometimes you just want to put your p*** in another guy's p***. I mean, that's,
well, sure.
You know,
who
do you
doesn't?
See the chain of logic
sure,
there?
Sure,
see, have you, have
and
you
sometimes
tried that
you do
time?
Those in the same evening.
Exactly.
Your engineer just threw up a little. And he went, ugh.
And you paid $220 for it.
Yes, it doesn't. Love don't come cheap.
But have you been the first gay experience for straight men? Not that I'm auditioning you. Yeah. I have my list of five things that I need out of a guy.
Let's see. I think there was one guy. Yeah, there was one guy. Oh, and this guy's a complicated too, because I live in Los Angeles now, but I lived in New York City for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the
wait
the,
a minute, how old are you?
I'm 41.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were much younger than.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, secret.
I'm flirting with him now. You know what I'm saying?
I like that, Lemaire.
So this gets really complicated. The first gay kind of virgin Palestinian guy. So throw that in the mix too.
Palestinian.
Yes, he was a sandwich guy at one of the delis. So I slowly over a month. It took me a month to wear him down because I knew he was curious.
He just kept going extra mayo. Extra mayo, wink.
No, go, wink. Or hold the mayo. I have that at home.
Yeah. So you picked
and
up
we couldn't have sex during Ramadan.
That's not true.
Yes.
No, it's absolutely. Yeah. I dated a black Muslim, and they will not have sex with you during Ramadan.
I know, this
many,
is how religion
how
gets
many,
really twisted.
How many of the laws of Islam are you breaking when you even look at you with lust?
Exactly.
Never mind going through with it.
Hey, the logic of religion. We got to love it.
So he would not have sex with a queer on Ramadan?
This is the thing.
But other times he would?
Yeah.
I mean, there is a... What does he want? He doesn't want to be in the actual center of hell. He wants to be like 5 millimeters
exactly.
outside.
Exactly, like
you're
a purgatory.
You're not quite in the center.
Yeah.
There's Penn Jillette. I can see him from where I am.
Actually,
he's in the center. And because I didn't have sex with a queer on Ramadan, I'm just one step out from him.
You're a little cooler. You know, you're not quite as hot.
It's 14,000 degrees instead of, 50. It's not quite the center of the sun.
So, but what it was, too, he kept circling in and freaking out because he loved it, but then he would freak out. So the second time that we had sex, he said, we can't do this anymore because if I have it
a third time... Shut up. Do the accent. You started to do the accent and you bailed out on it.
Oh, I didn't even know I was doing it. I was channeling. His name was Eddie. Ed.
Okay.
Ed.
If you're going to tell this story, you're going to do his character.
Commit, Wendell.
Okay. He kind of had a high voice like this. Yeah, I think it was something like, I'm trying to remember, it's been a few years. So he was just like, if we have the sex the third time, I'm going to probably have to commit suicide. I talked to my what do they call them? Sheiks? No. The mullah, yes. I talked to the mullah. The mullah said, one, two times, that's curiosity. Three, kill yourself.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, because then you like it. Not to say that, I'm not trying to brag that perhaps, I'm very good at what I do. But, I looked at it as missionary work.
Now,
spreading.
Before this gets really creepy, since we are in New York.
Since it's not creepy yet.
Yeah, really.
How many years ago was this that you turned on a suicide bomber in New York City?
This was before 9/11.
So, three times with Wendell and we're on the plane?
Exactly.
Oh, Jesus. It's your fault.
It's always the game.
So, we're always screwing it.
So, first of all, you started AIDS.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you were also 9/11, you guys.
Hey, yeah, come on, we're over. Hey, we get stuff done.
But did he?
We put our mind to
it. Did he have sex with you a third time?
Oh, 5 or 6, 7, 8 times, definitely.
And then he did not kill himself.
No.
And did you follow?
This is why I'm not very religious myself.
Is he still queer?
No. This gets even more twisted. He disappeared.
No, wait. It doesn't get more twisted.
Oh, yes, it does.
This is very exciting.
See, you thought...
Very good idea, Lisa. To
I told you, bring this homo in the studio. He's a funny, fascinating gay.
And you thought you were doing magic tricks. Okay. Check out some of mine, Pat.
Okay. About your tricks.
Okay. So 6 months, he goes away. In that time, he married a woman, got her pregnant. They had an abortion. He went in the park and did try to kill himself, and then came back to me.
Is he with you now?
No, because then he kind of went to, in his head, I think, gay rehab, and he's like, God, I guess I can't just do this a little bit.
But don't you think he was truly a gay guy? If he's that curious and coming back, but there's too much pressure in that society.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right.
Now, don't be saying stuff out of turn. Don't be saying there's anti-gay prejudice in the Muslim community.
I know.
I take that back. I'm sorry.
because a hot country to go is Egypt for that. See, now that's, I kind of like, gay men, we seek this out too, because there's something, we love anything subversive.
Have you been to Egypt?
No, not yet.
It's a hellhole.
Is it? Is it smelly?
Don't go. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Cairo, living in Cairo, at least when we were there, which is 5, 6 years ago, maybe a little longer, being in Cairo, just existing in Cairo, is three packs of cigarettes a day.
Wow.
Yeah. I arrived in Cairo and did not stop coughing. I was sick from the moment I landed.
Oh, no.
It is just,
do you smoke or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
And it was
horrible. Oh, boy.
Horrible, 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 horrible. And, I was afraid. See, this is the thing. The bravery in the gay community astounds me.
I don't know if it's bravery.
I would not.
I think it's horniness.
I would not have talked, to the kind of guys that you are describing as you finding hot, I would not dare talk to them about a soda because they might think I was coming on to them and kill me. And you actually would be coming on to them.
Exactly. Well, that's because I have a gaydar. See, that's what you need, though,
to
safely do this.
That's right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back talking about, we have a desperate straight woman. We're interviewing them both. We'll be back. This is Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau, somewhere in Vegas. And we're on the big CBS Free FM. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on the Free FM CBS radio. And I got Michael Goudeau, who's in Las Vegas. I'm in New York.
I am.
Sitting in a hot, sweaty room with Lisa Lampanelli and Wendell.
Hemorrhoid hitman. Bum chum, donut puncher.
Yeah, what are all of those? You like always have new lists.
I always love the gay terminology.
I helped her with the first one. I don't know where she's getting all these new ones.
Astronaut, I like that one. And, of course, my favorite is Clay Aiken, the Pendulette of Penn and Teller fame.
And with his new Liza Minnelli hairdo, you gotta
love
that,
my God.
Don't you?
No!
I can't wait to see him live. Actually, you know what? You're in Vegas all the time. Did you see Barry Manilow live yet?
Yes, I did.
How great
and
was
then,
it?
Do you know him?
I gotta tell you, it's better. Barry Manilow calls up our office and says that... he saw the Aristocrats in a theater, first day it came out. Greatest movie he's ever seen. He's out of his mind.
Wow.
He wants his whole crew to see it. Can he get a DVD? And at that time, we were really worried about bootlegs. So I said to Barry, kind of not thinking anything, well, you know, we're not going to send you a DVD now, but if you want to bring the whole band over to my house, I'd be happy to show you. So Barry Manilow rents a bus. He loads his entire band in the bus. Like, what was it, Emily, 20 people?
Easy.
Yeah, easily 20 people. And Emily, my wife, made popcorn and had snacks.
Wow.
And then I have a band room, so his band is, like, playing jazz beforehand. I show Barry my recording studio, and Barry goes, I should have had this when I was doing the duet with one of the McGuire sisters. We could have recorded her here.
Wow.
Could I use your studio? I really love it. I go, sure.
Wow.
And Barry sits in my home theater with his band, laughing his ass off at the Aristocrats. Not laughing like your friends laugh, like, boy, that's pretty funny.
Right.
I mean, like, screaming, tearing up out of his mind.
See, I always sensed he was cool. You know what I mean?
And I had a great time talking with him. He's just really great. And he knows, you know, I'd heard all these kind of show busy stories that you hear about Barry Manilow, and none of that. Although the best Barry Manilow joke that I heard was Eddie Gordetsky. You know Eddie G?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Eddie Gordetsky, one of the funniest comedy writers in the world, calls me up and says, Barry Manilow is getting a hip operation. If Barry Manilow's getting it, can it be hip? He can't be getting a hip operation.
Well, that's what I liked about him, because he was so uncool that he was cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Rush. You know what I mean? Remember the band Rush?
Yeah.
So unhip, it's cool.
And Barry Manilow's show, you know, I mean... if you put aside, you know, what background you're from and what you're supposed to like, it's a beautifully done show.
Cool.
And his band, you know, and this is always that weird thing with show bands, you know. Everybody in the band is so much better than they need to be.
Yeah.
And they all want to break out and be playing harder stuff.
Right.
And you'd say, well, what a waste. And yet that does translate in. I mean, the band is really tight and really skilled, and they all want to be playing bebop. But none of them can make any money playing bebop.
Right.
But they play this stuff, and they really put their heart into it, and Barry just does a show that's really, really good. You know, all I require is that someone's thought about their show and has passion.
Absolutely.
I hesitate to use the word passion, because, you know, music and passion was always in fashion.
It was a fashion. It certainly was.
But,
but it's really true. Lyric.
It's really true.
But isn't it funny about, like, guys like that, every part of the audience is touched by them. Was every single type of person at that show? It wasn't just old ladies.
No, it's not just old ladies at all.
It was,
you know,
everybody, right?
You know, you're very broad. When you get that kind of top 40 success, and he's had like a zillion hits there, he crosses right across. And I was very surprised by how Barry Manilow's show seems totally committed. And when I went to see Elton John, that was the show that you expected Barry Manilow to do.
Huh.
It was kind of by the numbers and just kind of, he's playing the hits, he's doing a real thing. But he didn't seem as, Barry Manilow seems when he's on stage, like, this is the most important thing in the world.
Yep.
And if the performer doesn't think that, why am I supposed to think it?
Exactly.
Because we all know it isn't the most important thing in the world. So if you're not willing to pretend, I'm not going to play along.
Right, exactly. Which is why I think every single comic in the world or performer has to think they're the best comic in the world.
Or why would you be
doing it? You have to think everybody else sucks, you're the best, or else why?
Well, Salvador Dali had a great thing where he said, a real important decision, a really important idea for me, and I won't get the quote exactly right, but Salvador Dali said that every artist must hate all the other artists, but not expect the audience to go along with him.
Wow.
And when I first started out doing magic, and I was going, you know, everything that's wrong with Doug Henning, everything that's wrong with David Copperfield, everything that's wrong with Siegfried Roy, and I would just go through that stuff and just rip everything apart and try to do what I want to do. That was my way of creating it. And then people would come up after the show and go, you know, loved your show tonight. We saw Copperfield last night. He's fabulous. And I would be crushed. And then I read that Salvador Dali thing, and it was a whole new thing. It was now, like, oh, yeah, they're not supposed to. They're not working on a show.
Exactly.
Now, did he say that before he cut off his ear and sent it to them?
Actually, that's a different one. That's Van Gogh.
Oh, Van Gogh. I'm not very cultured.
Now you've mentioned two gay royalty. I mean, actually three. Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
Elton John. Yeah. Okay, you know why his show was like that? Yeah. I think he's gone through menopause. I think he's the first gay man to go through menopause. He is.
He's
can
bitchy.
I say bitchy?
Bitchy.
Okay, can I say bitchy? Yeah. He's
yes,
a bitchy
may.
Queen.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
my God. And then Doug Henning.
Doug Henning.
And what, oh, my God. Growing up with the... Remember, he used to wear those...
Debbie
what was
Harry?
Your biggest, what
Debbie
was,
Harry?
Oh, that's right. Yep. Now, wait. What was your biggest problem with Doug Henning's magic?
Woo!
I would say it was the baby blue unitards. Remember those sky blue?
Absolutely.
That was my problem. But you know, Doug Henning did a cool thing. Because the reason that magicians wear top hat and tails.
Yes.
Do you know the reason?
No.
It was because
Robert
Houdin, who was the magician that Houdini took his name from, the father of modern magician, who was sadly French. He said his idea was before Robert Houdin, magicians always dressed with like either Asian outfits or in conical hats.
Oh,
and Robert Houdin said the magician should dress like his audience.
Huh.
And it was this huge, huge breakthrough for magic, because he came out in coat and tails. And
right.
to show you how stupid magicians were after that, when the audience changed what they wore, the magicians still wore coat and tails, because
yeah.
they didn't understand that it changed. And Doug Henning, his idea, I mean, was I will dress like a hippie in T-shirts and, you know, and so on, because that's what the audience is dressed in, which was precisely the same idea as Penn and Teller wearing the gray suits. We wanted to wear suits that... every man wears a gray suit at some point, either as a defendant or in your job at some point.
Right.
Do you have any trouble? Why are you reaching between
Lisa's
legs?
I haven't given up hope yet.
Neither have I.
No, my headphones, just bear with me. My headphones are a little cutting out a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's my, you know, personality.
So when you did Nancy Sinatra, then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like, and you had no one to do Lee Hazlewood?
No. See, I did.
Okay.
Is that
some
like
Velvet Morning?
That,
when I'm
all of her
straight.
Songs were spooky, weren't they? A lot of them.
Some Velvet Morning when
yes.
I'm straight.
Yep. And,
what the hell is that for a first line?
What was
line?
The other one?
Your ass is mine. You know, it's one of those first lines in songs.
It's always talking about whiskey.
Yeah.
You know, waking up at the crack of dawn.
So you had no one to do Frank and no one to do Lee Hazlewood?
No.
You just did your Nancy alone?
Exactly. I did, what was her spoof on Secret Agent
yeah,
Man?
Yeah, sure, sure.
So that one, Tony Rome.
Sure, Tony Rome, I know that one.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Remember Phaedra? Talk about a spooky one. Phaedra was spooky.
Don't do that. I
really?
Just did some Velvet Morning.
Uh-oh. I just, like, upset Penn.
You did very much.
I got a little bit.
I just said some Velvet Morning when I'm straight. And then you said later, do you remember Phaedra? That's the first line of Phaedra. I'm gonna open up your gate.
Yeah.
Maybe tell you about Phaedra, right? And then you go flowers, blah, see
into the waltz.
Yes. Yes. She, Nancy did the waltz part,
but I liked the go-go part definitely. I did go-go Nancy.
Go-go Nancy.
You know,
okay.
Not when she was trying to have
but
her
don't
career.
Don't you ask me if I know Phaedra when I'm quoting Phaedra. Don't you do? I will bitch slap you. I will bitch slap you right back to drag.
Actually, I want to get back to it.
What else?
Yeah,
what other people did you do?
Of course, I did Liza Minnelli.
Sure.
Come on, picture me with those raccoon eye makeup.
Sure.
Dead ringer for her.
Exactly.
And my masterpiece was a send-up of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Oh, sure.
I played Betty Davis, you know, Baby Jane.
Sure.
I did a full-size doll of... Hudson, whatever. So, but I lip-synced to Tina Turner, Better Be Good to Me.
Uh-huh.
And when you close your eyes, it sounds like Betty Davis singing.
haunting. Something to think about. The more you know.
I finally got Penn to be speechless.
I know.
You were just like,
let me leave you with this thought. Axl Rose.
Yes.
And Adam Sandler pointed that out.
Yes.
Once he said that, it's a meme. It's a meme. It's a mind virus. Once you've heard Axl Rose sounds like Edith Bunker, Guns N' Roses forever will be done on the set of All in the Family in your head.
I think I have a new act.
Yeah. Knocking on heaven's door.
Oh,
and we'll be back right after this with whoever the hell is in the studio. But I'm Penn Jillette. That's all I know right now. Lisa Lampanelli, Wendell, and Michael Godot saying nothing in Las Vegas. We're at the Free FM. FM, CBS Radio. We got Michael Godot in Las Vegas. I'm in New York City with Wendellin.
I guess Wendelin. Wendy Babes.
Wendy Babes.
Wendy Babes.
Yeah, my kindergarten teacher called me that.
Well, you had a teacher call you that?
Yeah. Miss Pohl.
Yeah.
Isn't that ironic? P-O-H-L, you pigs. Miss Pohl. Uh-huh. She called me Wendy Babes.
Did she really?
Yeah, because I was as cute as a button little, you know, little dwarfy, you know, garden gnomish. Picture me, like at 5, I was like 2 feet tall, blonde, you know.
I can't imagine there was any change from the time you were
not five. Much.
Not much. And we also have Lisa Lampanelli here.
Wendell's opening act, Lisa Lampanelli. Keep it going, homosexual. You know what's funny though, about drag we were talking about before? I get an email on MySpace one day, and they said, you know you're famous when a drag queen impersonates you. There's a Lisa Lampanelli drag queen.
Is it really?
In yes. Los Angeles and Las Vegas. I'm so excited.
Both places?
Yeah,
both
she
places?
Goes, her name's Delta Works, and she does me in both Vegas and L.A. I'm so excited. I got to go see her.
You part of her stable? Or she
concentrate on one guy at a time.
Yeah.
God forbid you didn't spread it around. So I just think it's so exciting to
so
think
you did,
about.
You did Liza?
Yes.
Nancy Sinatra?
Yes.
Bette Davis?
Yes.
Who else?
Lisa Lampanelli.
No, I didn't know you. Otherwise, I should do that sometime. I could do that. I could do that.
Go ahead. Do your Lisa impression.
Oh, gosh. We're on regular radio, right? Okay, wait. Here we go. Okay.
Okay.
Come on, because I always bring her up. I'm her opening act, right?
Sure.
So people are clapping. She comes to the stage. First thing she always says is, come on, give it up for Wendell. He's gay. He's dying of AIDS.
You know, it's so nice.
It's his last show. Come on, clap. He takes it up the back door.
You sound precisely like
me. Yeah, you sound exactly like me. Thank you very much.
There was no attempt at impersonation there at all.
You said the words.
It was like Danny Gans. You were just saying, okay. I'm going to do George Burns now. I'm coming, Gracie.
Yeah.
You don't change the voice at all.
You're phoning it in, Wendell. This is
you don't miss a trick, do you?
Do your Lisa Lampanelli.
Okay, here I'll be you bringing me up.
Okay.
Oh my God, I guess ready for your headline. Your next act. Oh my God, you deliver shit on condescension to us. Please put your hand for the woman responsible for my career, and I'd be nothing without her. Please clap it up.
They're like, come on, give it up for Wendell. He takes it in the back door. Come on, that deserves applause. Okay, then applaud for me too. I take it at the back door too.
Because I date the black.
Come on, it's his last show. He's dying of AIDS.
Well, with that lifestyle, who can blame him?
See, when you apply yourself.
See, Wendell?
Just like Miss Pohl said. When you apply yourself, Wendell Pooh.
Wendell Pooh! Don't dirty it up, Penn. Don't dirty it up.
You always know that you're my hero. That was beautiful.
Oh, my God.
He's crying.
And even that report card I have somehow has survived the years. And, like, the note she wrote, I was at 5, I was like just, a busybody.
Just in case, somebody listening is thinking, well, you know, drag queen doing lines of Manelli, that's not pathetic enough.
No!
He's coming with the big
gun.
He has his report card. That's
my only source of self-esteem.
Is that the last time you get a good report on anything?
Yeah, okay. I think so. H5, definitely.
And what did Miss Pohl say about you?
It basically sums it up. It's like Wendell really cares and empathizes about other people's feelings. Basically that I was a nosy busybody.
Yeah.
You know. But I had very good social skills. That's what she said. I could work a room and... Oh, God. All that stuff, you know?
And when, is that back when you decided you were gay by then?
No, I actually, you know what the whole gay thing for me, my take on it is, okay, I hate when people go like, oh, I was a gay little kid. For me, gay has, homosexual has sexuality to it, okay? Uh-huh. So I was a queer little kid, I'll go with the word queer.
Okay.
Yes, I was stuck out of it. Gay, you don't know until the hormones kick in.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're deciding your sexuality. All I could think of was the wrestling team. So, hey,
really? Was
the rest is history. Oh, yeah.
Well, no, what,
no
12 years
doubt.
Old?
Huh?
12 years old?
13, yeah.
Did you ever try to be straight?
Nope. Why?
You know,
that's kind of gross, man. Not to be elitist.
I have a really good friend who also happens to be the person who tints my hair.
Nice tips.
Exactly. And I put these gray highlights in. It was a bad idea. So he takes them out.
Yeah.
And when he's doing it, he talks with me. And he is, he really does make you seem like Ernest Borgnine, right?
Wow.
And he
he's super flamer.
He will tell me, you know, he will sit and tell me that there's no such thing as a straight guy at all.
They all want to have
gay experience. I said, who do you think is completely straight? And he thought for a long time and then said, Chuck Norris. And that was the end of his list. And he said, everybody, every guy, they're all hung up. They're all closet cases.
He goes
through this whole thing. This, whole, blah, blah, blah. This is his speech for like, you know, 6 months of knowing him. That's his whole speech. So then I finally say to him, okay, I finally say to him, it's now time for my rebuttal. He's had 6 months.
Right.
It's now my turn. So I've said to him, well, have you, since all straight men are gay and should try that, have you ever had sex with a woman?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's so gross.
Exactly.
I would never consider it. That is so disgusting.
Exactly.
And he's like, you know, he's like choking.
Yeah,
he's like
the worst
thing in the world he's ever thought of. And yet, every guy who claims to be just straight and has that reaction, they're lying.
The lady doth protest too much.
Exactly. But it's
definitely.
And this is the guy who was...
How old is he about?
What is he, 40?
I was going to guess.
Already hard to tell.
See, that's a political self-preservation kind of thing.
And he also, but I also will tell you that from the time he was 15 to the time he was 23, he lived as a woman.
Oh, wow.
And a hooker.
Cool.
Wow.
And he was, you know, he's thrown out of the house by his parents.
Sure.
And got his cousin's birth certificate and ID and was complete. I mean, like,
what was his name? Did she
arrested
as
a woman? I'm not going to say any of that.
Yeah, that's true. Because you don't want your hair messed up the next time you go. Like, nice afro puff there, Pat.
You know, you Mr. Straight Guy, shouldn't you have a crew cut? It might go like that, you know. But I wrote this novel called, Sock, and in it, it's a relationship between a straight man and a gay man,
mm-hmm.
and the gay man is a hairdresser, and every single quote that the gay guy says in the book, I took directly from this friend of mine.
Wow.
Every word of it, every single word of it, and other gay friends of mine said, no gays talk like that. That's the reason straight guys cannot do that, because it sounds so fake. And I go, every word he said.
Exactly. No, that's true.
Only
those
problem,
stereotypes come from somewhere.
The only problem with the whole book that he had, he read the book, and I said, by the way, this is just you. It's just about, you know, you and me solving a crime together. This is just you. And he read the whole book and came back and said, Tommy is not a cute name. Why did you call me Tommy? The only problem he had with the entire book.
No, because a gay guy would never be called Tommy. They never shorten their name. It's always Thomas.
Thomas. Well, he just hated that I used
the name. What did he want you to use? Did he give you something like Charo?
I think he wanted
to
use his real name.
Why'd you call me Charo?
But he hated the name Tommy, which I had set up because it's a reference to the Who that comes in later. It's a reference to that ties back in.
Tommy,
so I needed it. I needed it for that.
You set us back 20 years for that one.
You ever dated a Tommy?
No, I haven't. I've never really dated. It's all booty calls.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
You know.
And are you happy with that? You're not like searching?
I'm only getting ready now to maybe settle down.
Uh-huh.
Only now. Yeah, previous to that, sure. It's like, I got things to do. I don't want to be bothered with someone else's schedule.
Uh-huh.
You know, or children, you know, feeding things or anything like that. That's just
and you know, you don't want children either, right?
No. I'm barren.
When did you?
I'm dry.
And I am too, just to clarify.
When did you make that decision?
Oh, all my life. It was never on a list of things that I wanted to do in life. So I figured if you didn't put it on the list, you probably don't want it. So, nope, no kids for LL. But you know, I did, when I was dating a Hispanic cop, which as you know, I've talked about on the show before, I did think, oh, maybe I'll have little Bambino. But I'm 45 years old. Come on. I mean, with his lazy Hispanic sperm and my spoiled eggs, forget it. We'll have a Ricky Retardo and a half.
But was there ever a loud TikTok?
Never. Never. It's so weird. No, I'm very self-centered and self-absorbed.
I think that's a scam, too.
A TikTok thing?
Yes, that women have to have children to be fulfilled.
Yeah, I mean...
Of course.
My great-aunt Lorena Bernholtz, born in 1925, never had children, and she was just the happiest
of
lark.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who've made that decision and choice. Yeah. And, you know, everybody, when I...
Did you always want kids?
That was the thing. Everybody told me, I can't believe you're having kids. You always said you didn't want kids. And I said, I never said that once. All I said was I wanted things perfect before I had kids. And I wouldn't just have kids because I thought that wanting to have kids before you had the right person to raise them with was an insane thing to do. It's like people who want to be in a relationship but don't know who.
Yes.
You just kind of go... The relationship has to follow the person. You can't do that.
Right.
So everybody just put that on me and said, oh, you never wanted kids. I said, well, not with you. You didn't have the other part of the password to get that secret information.
Right, but you're also lucky. I mean, admit it. You got a great wife, and your kids are actually good-looking kids and cute. If I could be guaranteed I'd have two like yours, I would say good. I'm open for business.
You know that my son is the largest baby in captivity.
No.
He's 5 months old, and he's 25 pounds.
Get out of here.
He's perfectly average for an 18-month-old.
Nice.
When you go to the doctor...
Your poor wife.
When you go to the pediatrician... You go to the pediatrician, and he turns around and goes, Jesus Christ! Well, that's the first word out of your pediatrician.
Wow.
Yeah, he's an absolute monster.
Oh, that's thought that great. Was your son talking. It's like, boy,
that kid's developed.
He's gonna have that voice. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, I think that this will be, if I live long enough, because, you know, I was 51 when my son was born. If I live,
wait a minute, how old are you?
I'm 51? 51.
I was going to only put you at like 42, 43.
No,
I thought we were about the same age.
I'm 51. No.
You're looking good, Pat.
Oh, thank you so much.
Roger.
You know why that is? That's my hairdresser, Fred, who doesn't want to be called Tommy. He does. But you know, there's this thing that happens when you're like a big straight guy and you meet gay guys who find out you're not going to hit them. They will keep pushing the envelope. And
really?
That's the thing I love about... He'll talk to me about anything and just always saying, like, if he can find out, oh, yeah, so you do have this anti-gay bias. So he will just tell me in detail anything. And I just go, no,
exactly.
Nothing at all. And I'll tell you, I've already told this on the air, but I'll tell you about when I went to the Club Baths in San Francisco. Because you'll like that story, too. Are we coming near the end here?
We have another minute.
About another minute, Goudreau?
See, now he's one kind of flaming queen, and that's a little more... He's a little bit militant, and that's kind of the time he came out and all that stuff. See, other guys will meet you, even if you were straight. They'll just, like me, would just endlessly flirt with you.
Well,
that's the other take,
well, no, that's
too.
What I mean. He will flirt, and he'll also do this whole thing. He's not trying to get me mad. He's just trying to find out. Yeah. It's kind of fun, I think, for him, and he said this, to have a straight guy that he can say anything to.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go, hey, wait just 1 minute. Wait just 1 minute.
Exactly.
Hey, what do you think I am anyway? You know, it's that kind of thing. But, you know, when I do say something about, like, you think I could pass for gay, he just laughs hysterically.
Yeah,
there's never been anyone who's been more straight than you. So we have Lisa Lampanelli. You're playing somewhere.
Somewhere. Go to
insultcomic.com
for dates.
Insultcomic.com. Do you have a website?
Not yet.
Something like that. You can look for it. We're on the free FM. This is Penn Jillette, Michael Goudreau in Las Vegas. Goodbye.